Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer for 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's that I don't truly understand how my business operates. And when I don't have an idea of how my business operates, whether it is on a monthly, how much revenue is coming in, what are my true expenses of that month? What does my personal runway look like? What does my business runway look like? And so those are questions that a lot of solopreneurs don't answer right away and therefore create so many different blind spots.
This is the Brown Way to Money podcast, where women of color in business find their financial independence path. Because financial success is within our reach, but by playing by their rules, it is only going to take us halfway there. To succeed, we must take ownership of our voice with money. So welcome to the Brown Way to Money podcast.
Welcome, sis, to another episode of the Brown Way to Money podcast. You know, I want to have these conversations, the conversations that we are not allowed or we have not been having as a woman of color in business around money. And today's episode, we are going to talk about something that many of you are almost afraid to have the conversation, not because other than you don't know how to go about it. And that is bookkeeping and having a financial system as a way to have your financial independence. And I have with me an amazing founder, expert, and the one that is behind the developing of one of these amazing tools. Joy, welcome to the Brown Way to Money. And thank you so much for being here. I would just go straight to it. And on that, I want to hear your story. But let's start with, what is the biggest money blind spot you see when solopreneurs are trying to scale or create consistent income or consistency in general?
Thank you so much for having me here. And I love that we're jumping right into it. I've talked to hundreds, and I mean hundreds of solopreneurs, not just women, men as well, of all places in America. And I think it all comes down to they don't understand their cash flow. And I think that's one of the riskiest parts of running a business.
Let's dive into it. What is understanding a cash flow means? And how do you get to that point of understanding that the issue is that they are not understanding cash flow?
Yeah. So upon speaking with hundreds of those solopreneurs, I realized the problem wasn't that I have so much credit card debt or I have inconsistent income. It's that I don't truly understand how my business operates. And when I don't have an idea of how my business operates, whether it is on a monthly, how much revenue is coming in, what are my true expenses of that month? What does my personal runway look like? What does my business runway look like? And so those are questions that a lot of solopreneurs don't answer right away. And therefore create so many different blind spots. And I'll give you an example. We've worked with one of our founders, amazing, amazing solopreneur. She's a photographer and she had over $20,000 of credit card and she's killing it, absolutely killing it. She had this credit card debt because she was buying cameras, equipment, scaling her business, right? As one does. But in understanding how much money does the business make in a year, in a month on average versus how much are you spending, right? This person had this massive blind spot, which led to that credit card debt, and that credit card debt just kept piling up and never really tackling it. And so that was the big aha moment of like, oh, wait, this is actually the problem. It's the cash flow. It's the understanding. It's the commingling. And so we try to get right into it with the founders, and that's what the tool does now.
How do you come up with Investrio and then why? Like, why to put all of your hard time and money resources into building this tool?
Yeah. So I shared one of the stories of the founders that we worked with, and that was a really big aha moment. It just so happened that that same problem happened over and over and over again. And Investrio was originally a tool to help people get out of credit card debt. So we were consulting for the credit card debt. I originally built it as a consulting business. Eventually, it kept happening over and over again. I'm like, this is a system. This is a problem. This is something we can automate. And then the conversations with the solopreneur started to happen, and we decided to fully pivot into what is today a automated bookkeeping tool. And it's just a start, right? I think there's so much more that we're going to be able to do in the near future, including taxes, including deductions. But the reason why I do it is because when I was a solopreneur, even in my consulting business, bookkeeping sucks. This takes time. Managing a business is tough, right? And when you're a business of one, I was out chasing clients. I was following up. I was trying to make sure that they knew exactly what they needed to do. I was making sure my systems were in place. And there was really nothing and no system doing the solopreneur CFO business for like job for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the origins of Investrio. It really came from a pivot of understanding that we were going the wrong way and then tuning into who is it that we really need to help. And we were helping ourselves, myself as a solopreneur, my co-founder was a solopreneur, even our full stack engineer is a solopreneur before.
How is this connected to your story? Because you come from a finance background, just as I come from a finance background, but then realize that it's a whole set of different kind of tools, mindsets, and even understandings. We talked about it last time that before this recording, that some people are putting tools out there and they don't even know what the walk is. Like, they are telling you to walk a path that they haven't walked yet. And I see so much danger in that. But what is your connection coming from that finance background to building this tool that understands the challenges?
Yeah, I think it comes from a place of beyond, right? My father was an entrepreneur. My grandfather was an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And, you know, my family, I'm an immigrant in America. I came from Brazil. And my family never got to grow financially in a way that I have personally been able to, and as a W-2 employee. And I think it's because of systems. I think it's that lack of knowledge. I think it's the lack of systems. I think it's the lack of access in a lot of ways. And so as I'm building the tool for the solopreneur, I'm also thinking about how much access my family didn't have and how much solopreneurs miss out on. They're absolutely brilliant. They're so talented. They're able to make money, but can we scale it? Can we grow it? Right. And if you have a good way to measure it, you can absolutely grow it. And yeah, my background's in trading algorithms. So I have a knack for automating things. But, you know, I always think to myself, like, if we can automate trading and trading algorithms for fixed income space, we should be able to automate this. And we should be able to make this experience for the solopreneur so much better than it is.
Yeah.
And give them that experience of a W-2 employee for their business of one.
I love that, like, give the experience that they expect on a W-2 on their business, because it's really, yeah, not many people love to go into bookkeeping. I love to do my bookkeeping. Like, I still till this day sit down and do my bookkeeping, because like having that conversation with my business, right? Having that intimate conversation. And I've been doing bookkeeping since I'm 12 years old, when I sit down with my mom to do bookkeeping for her business. But that's something that I decide to do. It's my choosing to do, but it's not the experience for many. It's certainly not that you are like you that are listening to this podcast. I don't expect you to have the excitement that I have when I do bookkeeping, and it should be really part of your business, just like you do marketing, just like you do sales, just like you do social media. It should be like that part that you check and is there without having this stressful experience. And that leads me to my next question. What do you think it's so many entrepreneurs feel shame or that anxiety around looking at their business finances and therefore avoid to have these kind of tools?
Yeah. So I spent a lot of time doing the consulting and talking to a lot of people about the money shame. And It's so unfortunate that that's the feeling so many of us have. I think sometimes it's that expectation that our families have for us of like, you should be doing really well. You should go to college. You should get a really good job. And that's, our reality is so different nowadays, right? Like, our economy is so different. Our reality is so different. The cost of living is so different. And I think there's a whole lot of different pulls from the family side, the economic side, the personal expectations that I think that if you're not ready to open up the books personally and look at your finances and tackle them, there is that shame. And sometimes we feel like avoiding is better than looking at it head first.
Right.
And so it's common. It's like if you're feeling this way, it's common, especially for an entrepreneur, because you're pulled in so many different directions. You know your business can be doing really well and the numbers are just there to support you. So I love that you have this intimate relationship with the numbers for your business. I wish that more people had that. And for those who feel like it is such a high barrier, it is so stressful, we're trying to build something calming, something beautiful, something easy, so that you don't feel that stress. It really shouldn't bring stress. It should bring clarity at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I would just add there that this is a financial trauma response. Avoidance is a financial trauma response. So when I see tools like this, and it has happened that with the ones that I have had one-on-ones, it has happened that once you do it the first time, the second time you either go like, you don't want to open it again because you confirm what you thought in the first place, or you feel at more ease when you do it for the second time. So I believe that any system should be there to support your path. And what you have to work on is the understanding and narratives that your mind is giving to that tool and that information that that tool is giving to you. Because certainly a bookkeeping system or any other system in your business is not telling you that you're doing something wrong. It's not telling you anything, really. It's just giving you a data so that you can kind of like read that data in a concise, collected way. Because relying on memory when you are a solopreneur is unsustainable. Like, if you want to scale, that is not the way to go. Yes. If you want to avoid taxes penalties, that is not the way to go. If you want to maximize, like you said, the deductions that you have as a solopreneur, if you base all of that in memory and in what you think you're doing, it is not only unsustainable, it is not healthy, and it is not scalable. So my take here from the trauma perspective is, keep coming back to these conversations. Keep coming back to making money part of your daily conversation, whether it is through this podcast, whether it is to your best friend, whether it is to that bestie that you can talk money or business about, but make it a part of your daily conversations. Because when you do that, just like any other topic, it becomes a natural step for you to do. And that leads me to my next question for you, Joyce, is what are some signs that solopreneurs can have? Like, what are those signs that they can spot when they already have a bookkeeping system? And it's just not working. Why are there some signs that system is not working for them? It's actually working against. It is time for Brand Weight Unfiltered, where we take a moment to talk about the one thing with money, the one belief, the one conversation that you were too scared to talk about. But when you did, everything changed for the better. That's right, sis. We are going to go there.
Yeah. So I used to work at Goldman Sachs and I was working on the trading floor. And I'm the first one in my family to work on Wall Street. I'll tell you that much. I called the financial advisor we had access to my first couple of months working on Wall Street full time. And essentially, I was so scared of what was coming. My student loans were about to hit. I was about to get paid. I was about to pay over $1,000 a month in just student loans alone, which is the reality, right? Even though I had a scholarship, I still had to borrow money and still had $100,000 of student loans. And I get a phone call from this advisor who is telling me you have to invest in your 401k, you have to save for your future, you also have to pay down the student loans, and you also have to live in New York. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, that's not enough money. You're not making enough money. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm not making enough money? Like, I'm just out of college. This is a great job. And I can't pay to live in New York and pay my student loans and survive. Like, and that moment, just like my world was crumbling because I literally had no one else to turn to. Like, it's not like my parents knew exactly what to do. So I left that call and I was so disheartened by the situation. And I literally opened up a spreadsheet because that's, you know, what we do best, just put the numbers on paper or a spreadsheet and started calculating, okay, if I bring lunch to work, You know, I was already living in a one-bedroom apartment with three people, which is the reality of New York. That's just how it is. Very comfortable. And then realize, like, okay, if I have a really tight budget, I can do this. I can get out of the student loan debt. I can start putting a little bit of money in my 401k, and I can figure it out. I took a side gig, walking dogs on the weekends. This is just a reality, right, of like what I had to go through. But yeah, it's not easy. Even if you get that amazing dream job, like, you still have to face the realities of your budget. You still have to face the realities of your limitations, and sometimes get a side job walking dogs, which ended up being amazing, by the way.
Why are those some signs that system is not working for them? It's actually working against them.
You brought up so many good points. I want to add that we're building this beyond bookkeeping, right? So today is a bookkeeping and automation tool. It helps you decommingle the personal and the business. So you're able to connect all of your accounts. And then if you're using, let's say, credit cards in a mixed way, we're able to help you get that sorted. I think one of the things that I would point out that it might be a good time for you to switch over to a system like this is when you feel like you still don't have clarity, right, between your personal and your business, and you don't have clarity. Where's the money going? Are these reports making sense for me?
Right.
And if you've let your bookkeeping go for over a couple of months, not that it's impossible to go in and clean it up, but we're building a tool that also includes insights, that also gives you high level overviews of where your business is. There's a chatbot named Vesti. She's your financial bestie, and you can ask her anything about the business, your cash flow. You can ask her for a grant, access to capital. And so she's there more than just for chatbot support. She literally knows your finances. And the way we're building her is to be that agentic CFO. So high level today, it's a bookkeeping tool. But tomorrow, Vesti is helping you do your taxes. She's helping you see the deductions. She's helping you make sure the books are clean by the end of the month. She's reminding you. I'm building her a little bit also as like a bit nosy, so that she reminds you like, hey, I know you got the subscription, but let's make sure it's in the right place. And if you really need it still, right? That kind of thing. Because I think the more involved we can get the technology to be, and I'll say this bluntly, AI can be very involved. It's about allowing it and trusting it. And I think we're just at that point right now. But it could help solopreneurs so much. So if your tool is not inspiring you to open it, and your tool doesn't make you feel good and doesn't make you understand the business, or doesn't allow you to understand the business, it might be time to replace it or just look into other things.
When we talk about a tool giving you clarity, are we talking about a tool that gives you clarity through your accountant, through the person that does your taxes, or for you as a business owner to understand what the next steps are?
I think the tool should on its own give you clarity. Good design, good technology gives you clarity on its own. We don't have accountants on staff. We don't have somebody you can just call up and say, hey, I would like to talk to you about taxes. We're a very small team of three at this moment. But again, it's May 2025, and we might be growing very quickly in the near future to have accountants and staff to have those conversations, or to at least continue to educate Vesti so that you can have those conversations with no judgment and very quick responses. But a tool should give you clarity and good design when it's designed well with you in mind, understanding the problem, understanding the customer.
Yeah.
It should feel right. And that's the constant response we get with Investrio, just the colors, the way it looks, the way you can toggle between personal and business, the way you can still have a mixed bag of expenses and then be able to extract what is business and what is personal. Or not, right? Sometimes we just leave them in the mixed. And so it allows you to have that better understanding. And I think it's all because of the design.
Tell you that you mentioned having personal and business expenses all together. And I can assure you that many people that are listening is like, oh, I'm guilty of that. I'm so ashamed to name it. But most of solopreneurs have this path. In fact, I was doing this article for Forbes last week, and the stat that I researched was 42% of small business owners in the US become CEOs or founders without financial literacy. 42%. That is a lot. And part of that financial literacy, how they got to, you know, to that stat is because there is a mix of personal and business expenses all along. And that shows a lack of financial literacy. Now, what I want you to take from this stat and from this that we are sharing is that it is common, it happens, but when you get to sort what is for the business and what is my personal kind of expenses, you're setting yourself to become sustainable and scalable. If you're listening to this podcast, you are already, like you have already an offer. You already know that you want to do this as a business. You already know that you don't want to go back to a 9-to-5 job. So if you know all of those three things and you still don't have clarity, what is the expense that belongs to you and your family and what is the expense that belongs to your business and how that expense is going to bring what you want, like what is the ROI of that expense, then you should start there. And having a system that allows you to do this is the way to go. Because again, relying on your memory or an Excel sheet after you have so many expenses, unless you want to dedicate a lot of your time doing that, it is not sustainable. In my experience with bookkeeping systems, beyond of, you know, talking just as Alejandra, as the experience with a system that allows me to see my financial moves in general, my experience is that the more that you let them in, the more that they will help you out. And I love that you're building this agentic CFO because there is so many things that come just as you're doing the things, right? Like, oh, I wish I could ask this question. Or I wonder if that expense should really go there or should not. Or I wonder how, if I project this expense in the next 12 months, my cash flow will look like next year. Those are questions that you only have when you're doing the thing, right? When you're in there.
Exactly.
And you have that companion. So I really like the companionship of the tool. And I already started to use it. I'm like, okay, I like this. It's a different because I'm used to doing it on my laptop. And in a very pragmatical way, I'm saying this and I'm thinking about my father. This is too bad. It's like I see it like my dad doing the bookkeeping things. But when you have it, when you have a tool like this in your hands, that you're able to say, you know what, it is part of running my business. It's like literally is in your hands. I do see a lot of changing on the solopreneurial field. What are you hoping to see that we change in a year from now, in 5 years from now with this tool?
And those are such valid points. I think there's like a rite of passage for a solopreneur, right? When you get started. So many people get started actually accidentally, right? I started accidentally started as a side business, then eventually non-accidentally started as a startup. But it's such a good point that everyone starts out with that mixed. It's just part of it, part of running the business, is part of figuring it out. We're just trying to help the people figuring it out to just figure it out faster, right? And figure it out in a way that like saves you money, but most of all saves you time. Because everyone knows if you have 4 or 5 hours back in your month or in your week in bookkeeping, then you can go and build more of your clients, build more of your marketing, build beyond, you know, managing finances. So using AI, using machine learning to help you systematize your business, it's the best way to get there. I think this is a fact. Right now, there are 42 million solopreneurs in America. Over 50% of them are small businesses run by women. And from the majority of the women that we've spoken with, they don't have many systems in place. And when it comes to other tools, it's very expensive either to get started or to... It's just a very high threshold to get started or onboard it. Sometimes you have a consultant or whatnot. And so we're really trying to build that community first effect, like join it. You're part of a community now. You're part of this tool. You have resources. Steve is there for you 24/7, but you also have this entire community of women. We have a group on WhatsApp, but we share grants, we share contacts. Everybody gets to market their business. And from there, we've already seen so many businesses partner up and do events together, which is super cool, right? I think women just do that organically. But where we get from here is that in 2027, the number of solopreneurs is about to double, which is something that is super exciting for us as a business, because we're going to see way more solopreneurs, way more people take their talents and try to build out their businesses. And I think that's also a very cool change that is happening real time in the economy. We're seeing a lot of people forgo like the MBA, the traditional routes, and buy businesses instead, right? We're seeing a lot of people start businesses, even if they're boring business. And I love a boring business, like a car wash. I love a laundromat.
The mainstream businesses, right?
Cash flow business. My dream is to own a laundromat. I'll tell you that. And I tell you, And I think so many people are starting to realize that, you know, sometimes it doesn't take as much work or to get into this business if you buy it outright. But then when it comes to the finances, it's like, oop, I didn't know what I was getting into. Mm. I didn't think about it, or, you know, I didn't really plan it out. So running a business is more than just like starting it up, right? It has this like consistency to it. And you and I know it takes time to perfect it. It takes time in technology, we call it finding product market fit, but also in content world, right? Finding your right niche, finding your right audience, and putting out something out there that sells and scales. And so if you have the magic to get that part going, we have the magic to get you continuing, right? Like that's where building this tool really becomes important. So I have a lot of hope for solopreneurship growing. I think a lot of people are taking a bet on themselves. There is this like lack of trust for the corporate world, for, you know, traditional careers, for W-2s. And it's this growth and self-reliance and trust that people want to have in creating their own business, which is, in my opinion, it's about time. Let's get back out there building.
Please. Okay. How can people access to this tool if they can access right now?
So today in May, we are still in test flight. We're still in private beta. We're selecting very specific people to use it. In the near future, as early as the summer of 2025, we want to be out on the App Store for everyone to use it. We want to perfect the experience before we launch it. But if you'd like to join our wait list, you can come to our website at www.investrio.io. And Investrio spells as INVESTRIO.io. And you can also follow us on social media. We share a lot of content, lots of resources, so you don't have to wait to get started.
Love it. Okay. I am going to do a pause segment because your community, the way that you have built your community, just struck my eye. So I want to ask you more about that. And I know it's going to go like a little bit sideways from the episode, but when I edit it, it's going to be fun. So let me do this. I had to stop and pause Joyce to ask her about the community, because I know that many of you are building communities, but the way that I've seen them build a community around a unsexy topic, really, let's call it as it is, it's amazing. So Joyce, walk me through, how do you do it? How do you guys got to have 400 women already on the WhatsApp group or so? What was the step by step that you did, and why creating a community before the product?
Yeah, I love the topic of community. I think women are organic community builders. That's our magic. So we built a really big following on social media first and realized everyone here has something to offer, which is super cool. And we should get them all together in the same place. And it happened accidentally. We hosted the first coffee chat in New York, and we invited women of the internet who follow us, come meet us. We're going to talk bookkeeping. We're going to talk savings. We're going to talk managing that business of one. But most of all, let's grab a coffee. Let's just get to know each other. 100 people showed up. and it was not expected. We really hit something when that first event happened. I was running back and forth because I wanted to get to know everybody that came. And so we kept doing that. We actually have it monthly. So if you're in New York, you'd like to join us, please come to our events. We'll buy you a cup of coffee and you'll meet awesome women that are part of the community. And it just so happened organically. We kept sharing our truth. We kept sharing our struggle. We kept talking about the content, the tool, the app. But most of all, my co-founder and I, we were just ourselves. We're pretty silly as humans. And we're trying to just bring awareness to accounting and bookkeeping and taxes. And when women were like, wow, that's pretty cool. And they look like me. I'll come to have a coffee. I'll join this community. And the community kept exploding. And now it's one that, you know, word of mouth just kind of grows organically. So we have a community here in New York. We have a smaller one in Miami. We've been asked to build one in LA, which we are, you know, just thinking how are we going to do that? We're not even in LA, we're in New York. But it's exciting to see the women get together and they post their businesses. They come to the events. We've seen some of them, you know, floral arrangement and then wedding organizer and then also event space, like a venue organizer. And I saw them all come together and like, we should do something. And I'm like, this is it. This is the magic of the community. We just have an accounting tool that kind of strings it all together.
Yeah. Oh, love it. Okay. I will close it there. I needed this. And the last question. Boy, I'm running through the episode on my head. Yes. And the last part is, let's talk about Brown Way to Money Unfiltered. We all have that conversation, that one conversation, that one moment that we avoided it for so long. And now we know it's financial trauma going through, right? But what was that one thing that when you did, everything changed for the better for you? Did you ever tell your parents like that was your situation?
I did. There was very little they could do for me, but you know, I told my mom and she's like, okay, well, you got to figure it out. Good luck.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. Yeah, it's the response of our parents. Like, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it?
Like, sounds like you need a side job.
Exactly. Oh my goodness, Jess, thank you so much for this conversation. It has been a pleasure to have you here. And just let us know, because we talked about the tool, but let us know where to follow you and your co-founder as well, Laura, right? Where to find you on Laura and all the adventures that you're doing together.
Yeah, so we're on Instagram mostly at investrio.io. So same name of the company. We're also on Threads, very active on Threads, which is amazing. I don't know if you're there yet. And our website, we'd love to, if there's anyone here looking to get a demo, we'd love to show you around the app and welcome you into our community.
Thank you. Okay, I will. Okay, did you hear something that you liked in today's episode? If so, don't keep it to yourself. Go ahead right now. Yes, right now, before this episode ends, and send this episode to those three friends, three girlfriends that you know you can go to talk about finance, independence, money, business, growth, entrepreneur life, and all of these juicy topics. Share this episode with them because that is the only way we can grow together. I'm Alejandra Rojas, your host, and I will see you next week.
Marketing is hard. But I'll tell you a little secret. It doesn't have to be. Let me point something out. You're listening to a podcast right now, and it's great. You love the host. You seek it out and download it. You listen to it while driving, working out, cooking, even going to the bathroom. Podcasts are a pretty close companion. And this is a podcast ad. Did I get your attention? You can reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements or run a pre-produced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience in their favorite podcasts with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com, that's LibsynAds.com today,